welcome to the Keel Hauled Podcast. I'm your host, Captain Logan, and we've got a lot of Sea of Thieves news to cover today. So, tie yourselves to the mast and hold fast. Ahoy there, pirates. I hope you had yourselves a good week and a good weekend. I know I did. This week, we are on the precipice of Season 12. We're going to be talking about it, as well as some of the things you can expect in this update and a patch that we just recently got on the 26th that kind of introduced all of the premium purchasers of the PlayStation version of Sea of Thieves. All that and more in this week's episode of Keel Hauled Podcast. But before I get into any of that, I have to thank the patrons. They're the ones that are supporting this content and making sure that I get a chance to go to Fest of Legends this year. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to seeing so many of you there as well. So with that, let's get into it. First off, Adorable, L-Cute, Balls, Blue Turtle V1, Captain Chonky, Captain Hayes, Captain Longsharts, Chateau Neuf, Super Pack, Zombie Killer, Cloud, Cosmic Johnson, Static Mirror, Iron John, Davram TV, El Jefe Esteban, Fergatron, Godhammer 6, I'm Dependent Now, Jorby Jorbs, Jay Hood, Carl Embo, Kazia the Aficionado, Cryptic Slayer, Lumpy SRQ, Evil Morpheus, Space Admiral Ors, Xbox Mike 29, Murphy Lives, Mutinous Max, Nipper Kim, Norwegian, Raja the Brave, Registella the Brony Pirate, Replicated Flame, Rustbelt Kid, Skamelt 666, Captain Dasm, Tommy D, TN Professor, Real Big Tuna, Big Bad Pad, Mina Fairy, Anthony N. Jr., Captain J. Rat of the Flaming Cold Sore, The Lore Chronologist, Deadeye Dre, Hegger Owl, Jeff H, Captain Duckweed, Evil Martha, Peter Miller, Rooski Doo, Thor Von Blitz, Luke Lore, the Insipid Ghost, and Zam Wow. Thank you all so much for your love, for your support. It really does mean the world to me. It helps me when I genuinely just don't even anticipate needing to deal with something. It helps. So thank you so much. I love and appreciate all of you. First on today's docket, let's talk about early access on PlayStation 5. Most of you who have purchased the early access have hopefully, you know, taken advantage of that extra time to be able to jump in. So this may not be something that pertains to you or the Xbox or PC players, but for those of you going into the PlayStation 5 experience coming in the 30th, you are going to want to know some of this information with regards to linking your account to a Microsoft account. All players will need to sign in with a Microsoft account to play Sea of Thieves. When launching the game, players will be guided through the account linking progress. Do be warned, or I guess ye be warned, account linking is a permanent decision, as players are only able to associate a single Microsoft account with a single account for PlayStation Network. Only use the Microsoft account on which you intend to carry over your progress to launch. Experienced players from other platforms who joined during the PlayStation 5 closed beta will have their pirate and all associated progress seamlessly transferred and accessible for play. Be sure to use the correct Microsoft account as the two accounts chosen to be associated cannot be changed later. Well, I'll put a little asterisk on that because I'm sure they'll probably come up with something in the future. Player names and online IDs. Once a Microsoft account is linked for Sea of Thieves play, all players will be displayed using their Microsoft account gamer tag. Players on PlayStation 5 can utilize the recent players list feature located within the game options to view the Microsoft account and linked online IDs of players on the PlayStation Network they encounter, as well as directly viewing their profile. If you're going to be inviting friends into your crew when setting up a crew, players can use the PlayStation 5 game base, which is kind of like our home screen, I guess. It's kind of shortcut to the main features that you need when you hit the Nexus button, which consolidates friends lists from the linked Microsoft account and the account for PlayStation Network into a single location for seamless crew management. You can, let's see, cross-platform play. Yeah. If you're planning on playing cross-platform, that is enabled by default, ensuring that all players joining High Seas will find their home on the waves with other players from all walks of life. Players on PlayStation 5, however, can choose to disable cross-play from matchmaking settings and only matchmake with others on the PlayStation Network. Additionally, you can also set the cross-play features to only go for console with controller as well, too. But you will be playing with Xbox players in that case, as well as PlayStation players. There is a performance mode on the PlayStation 5. Sea of Thieves does have the optimized mode to run at 4K 60, ensuring that there's parity with the Xbox Series X console players. Players can also achieve the performance mode, which drops the resolution down to 1080p. But allows for that 120 refresh rate if your TV supports that. That's something that you might want to take a look into. I know with PlayStation, as well as like HDR and the frame rates, there are system level settings for those. It's always best to make sure that those are synced up with the game settings, just to make sure that there aren't any weird issues when it comes to the frame rate or the HDR settings or setup for PlayStation 5 players. New players on PlayStation 5 using the HDR supported screen should perform the HDR calibration when playing for the first time. Just navigate to the HDR calibration in the game settings to configure your experience. Additionally, if you're playing on a DualSense wireless controller, you will get that support. There are haptics there. I talked about this in a previous episode where some of it was good, some of it wasn't so good. I don't think that the harpoon is where I'm really happy with it. Same thing with the adaptive triggers. I don't really know why it doesn't quite feel so good with harpoons, but it feels fine for other aspects of the game. So that's kind of nice. The other option there is if you don't have a headset connected, you can always use the built-in microphone to serve as a default device for communication when talking to players in-game. Voice chat notifications when using in-game voice chat, if you do, whether it be for, you know, the one on your DualSense or through a headset, when using the in-game voice chat with crewmates or other players you meet in the world, the name of the broadcasting players will show within the HUD in a new indicator. It's really beautiful. I love the way that I've designed it. It's subtle, kind of the way Discord pops up. If you have that UI enabled on PC, it just kind of shows you like who's talking. Really like that. Additionally, player moderation. Moderation. Why does that word look weird? Moderation. Yeah, moderation. It's, I don't know. It looks weird when I'm reading it, but it's moderation. Anyway, players now have access to the player blocking tool in the game settings. This allows for a player to be blocked, resulting in them being restricted from communicating with you using in-game voice chat. Player's blocking tool is also allows for easy management of your blocked players list. Really love that. That is something I think really should have come to the game a lot sooner. Not sure why that wasn't something that could have been made a bigger priority, because there are settings for this. Like, you can mute other crews, you can mute your crew, you can mute all crews. There are ways to do that. Not everyone is a bad apple, and sometimes you just want to block the one stinky apple and not have them ruin the whole batch, because maybe you want to hear other people. But if someone is being unkind or not, you know, if they're using gamer words because they're big old strong person who uses gamer words, it's nice to be able to have like individual blocks, like to be able to go in and actually block that person's voice chat, so you don't have to hear what they're saying and you can still hear other people. May actually come in handy with open crews. And that's pretty much it as far as the PlayStation players. I know that a lot of folks are still dealing with crashes, and they have been having a lot of issues currently with regards to guild ships. Currently, like, there's a bug right now that's restricting their ability to display all guild ships. So if you went into your guild recently and you saw that that there weren't as many of your ships that you know are supposed to be in there, or even the ships that you like to sail on, I think the recommendation right now is to log out, lock back in, or jump on a regular ship, log out of the server, and then try and see if it repopulated. It is something that they are currently working on. They recognize that this is an issue and are trying to work through that at the moment. So Hopefully that's something that gets fixed up soon. Definitely kind of a bummer, especially if you have like a set ship that you're working on. It's kind of a bummer if it doesn't populate in the list. Some good stuff to know about going into season 13. Is it season 13? No, it's season 12. Oh my God. Oh my God. I thought we were getting into season 13. I was about to die. New changes. Fate of Fortune. Chest of Fortune. So PlayStation players, if you don't know what the Chest of Fortune is, it is a very rare chest. It only appears in one place for certain world events. Every season it changes different locations. In this case, it's going back to the Fort of Fortune, which is the big red skull in the sky, if you happen to see that. Actually, what I will say is that it, so far for every season that they've had it, whatever event has the Chest of Fortune, they changed the icon to be fully red. Like there's a Fort of the Damned, which has like red eyes for a skeleton skull. Then there's a regular skull that is just like the standard skeleton fort. And then the Fort of Fortune, that is just the big red skull. And there's a klaxon that sounds throughout the entire ocean. So if you log in, you hear that. That is like, it lets you know there's a Fort of Fortune active. And the reason for it is because it's some of the hardest content in the game. It is going to be contested with other crews. But the chest that's in there is something that goes towards commendations. Those commendations, once you turn in a certain amount, will start to unlock some really beautiful cosmetics that are geared just towards the Chest of Fortune and the Reaper's chests, which are the spirally gold and red, or gold for the Reaper's bounties. Reaper's chests have the blue and or the red and green spirals that come up from the ocean. If you sail over to like a shipwreck, you may see that coming out. Those, if you turn those into the Reaper's hideout in the middle of the map to the Flameheart Jr., the Reaper emissary guy, that will count towards the weapons. And in this case, because it's already been a little while since we've started up the Fates of Fortune, we're now going to be getting the Fates of Fortune banjo and drum. And I'm trying to think if there was anything else. No, I think that's it. I don't know if you get, you know, I don't think there's titles. Are there? There's not titles. I don't think there's titles. Anyway, Chest of Fortune. Originally, you got the ship set's done. So now you get the lantern, the spyglass, the compass, and the bucket. And those are the main things that you can get from the Chest of Fortune if you've already collected all of the past content. That is evergreen content as well, too. So if you don't know what it is and you want to get that, head over to the Bilge Rat Adventure section of your pirate and or your pirates. What is it? Is it under the pirates log? I think it's under the no. Yeah, I think it's under the pirates log. Anyway, it's where all the reputations and stuff are. You'll see Bilge Rat Adventures and there's the Fate of Fortune stuff there. That's where you can get an idea of what those commendations are, how many you need to turn in to start working on that evergreen content. Some of the game improvements, gameplay improvements that they've made to Sea of Thieves hit registration improvements. Further improvements have been made to calculate the location of player shots more accurately across the client and server, providing a sizable improvement to hit registration for ranged weapons across a range of combat scenarios. Ship skeletons, ship skeletons, so silly. Skeleton ships and megalodon encounters. The frequency of emergent skeleton ships and megalodon encounters has been reduced to match the frequency of encounters prior to season 11. Animation quality settings. Players have now improved control over the character animation quality within the graphic settings. This will provide a smoother experience. However, higher settings may impact CPU performance. All good things. Nice that they did that. Also, if you haven't already and you're fresh to the game, definitely go into the settings. Look for the setting that shows server confirmation for hit registration. That's going to let you know that anytime you see a hit marker, it is something that registered on the server side, which means that the person that you shot also took the damage. If you don't see that hit registration and you have that setting turned on, it is most likely that that shot did not actually register. Outpost cosmetics. These are my favorite because it means that everyone has an opportunity to get this without having to spend money, which is always a nice thing. So there's new outpost stock. The outposts have received a new shipment of items from the Seared Forsaken Ashens set with the ship set and clothing now available for purchase with gold after unlocking the Warsmith of Flame Commendations. So these are ones where I believe they're purple. Yeah, I believe they're like purple and red. Very cool. The Forsaken Ashens set was very wanted or desired originally. It was content that came in with the Devil's Roar back in the first year, and a lot of people really liked that, but not everyone got an opportunity to get it. So having this as kind of a color variant of that for your ship and clothing is nice. You just have to make sure that you're working through those Warsmith of the Flame commendations to be able to unlock them and then purchase them for in-game gold. The Outpost Weapon Shops now also have the Forsaken Ashes Heavy Sword and Rapier available for doubloons after unlocking the Devil's Cartographer commendation. Nice way to get a doubloon sync for a lot of folks that have had those due to Reaper's chests being turned in over the years or unlocking them through commendations. Great way to obtain those. You can also get those through pouches, I believe, through the Ashen Captains that you can find on islands. They're emergent skeleton captains that are the Ashen variety. Once you open up the actual chest, or if you find those through like a Fort of Fortune, they can have bags of doubloons in there, which you can then use to purchase certain items. There are some legacy event cosmetics that are coming into the game now. Previous rewards from the Wish You Were Here event, which I believe, let me see if I can nail this. I want to say that this was 2023 and it was in August, and it was kind of a you're on vacation, sending a postcard, wish you were here event kind of thing where you had to travel around all of Sea of Thieves. That has now been added to the Outpost Shops. The Cartographer Tattoo and the Refined Gold Cutlass, Spyglass, and Speaking Trumpet are now available for doubloons as well. Season 5 Legacy Cosmetics. These cosmetics previously available during Season 5 have arrived in Outpost Shops and can now be yours in exchange for doubloons. This is how we're getting our doubloon sinks for all the old salts out there. Players can purchase the Bell Brig clothing set, which is very, very Christmas looking. It's fun. That's what I'll say. It's fun. It's also funny. So I would encourage you, if you don't have these, to go pick them up because they're fun during the holidays to put these on, sail around. Along with a range of unique one-off items that were available during this season, Pirate Legends can also pick up Merrick's Tankard and Grimm's Jacket. Nice items, by the way. The time-limited ancient gold items, however, remain exclusive to the players who participated in Season 5. One thing that I will say is Rare is doing a pretty good job in my eyes for trying to give and take a little bit with the past cosmetics. They want to offer gold sinks an opportunity for some stuff that players missed out on to be able to get those while still trying to have some stuff be time limited and locked so that there's a value and or a perceived value. I'm going to say whether it has value is up to personal preference and what your perspective is. So I'm not going to say yes, this has value, or no, this doesn't have value, because it's an individual thing. It just depends on how you view that stuff, right? So some of this stuff being time limited and staying as something that you had to be there to be able to earn, I think will help try to sate the folks that find value in time-limited cosmetics versus the people that don't care and they have them and don't care if other people get them. Just kind of a nice way to reward people for the experience that they've been, to kind of show off some of the stuff that they've earned over the years that is no longer available. Well, we talked about blocking people. There's updates now that I want to go over, and the first one is going to be Reporter Player. The in-game Reporter Player tool has now been extended, providing the ability to report players for movement exploits, aiming exploits, and toxic behavior. Originally, you could only really report them for names, name of the ship, their name, guild name, stuff like that. As with all player reports, these will be referred to the Sea of Thieves support team for investigation and follow-up action. In my experience, I've seen this go one of two ways. Either one, they will pass on the information to the team and they will review it and you will never hear from them again. Or you will hear within 24 to 48 hours of a business day that the person that you reported is has been banned, and it's kind of funny. There's it's only one of two ways. There's not like deliberation that they have to go back and ask for more evidence or let you know that they'll keep it on a list that they'll, you know, like be watching those people. It's like either nothing happens or they get immediately banned. So I do like and trust that the reports tend to work in a majority of cases. A lot of the times, the people that I have reported have actually been banned, and I've been notified of that because it was very clear that they were breaking the terms of service, not just for Sea of Thieves, which there is a terms of service for Sea of Thieves, and then there's also a terms of service for Microsoft. One thing I don't know is if you're a PlayStation player, do the terms of service for Microsoft also apply to the terms of service for PlayStation users? I would err on the caution of, or I would err on the side of yes, because I don't know what the terms of service are for PlayStation players, because I don't really dive into that too much, if that makes sense. Like, I don't really keep up with the report or you know, things that can get you banned on PlayStation, because I genuinely don't really play multiplayer games on PlayStation. I typically, you know, that's where my exclusive single player content is. So forgive me on that one. The Pirate Emporium Quick Menu. The Pirate Emporium can now be accessed via the Quick Menu, allowing pirates to browse the Emporium at any time. They want your money. Please, please be cautious. Premium and Pirate Emporium local currency purchasing. When shopping with shopping improvements in the works for the Pirate Emporium, this update removes a lesser used feature that provided players with the ability to make purchases within the Pirate Emporium directly using local currency. I guess that wasn't something, I guess them not using it, it was, you know, probably only about 2% of the population using it, so might as well nix it. Yeah, it's a trend. Port Merrick Front End Menu. Wow. The tavern location for the front end is now using the recently constructed Port Merrick Tavern. No clue what this is about, but I'm just gonna let that be out there for the world, and you guys can I get the feedback from my friends telling me, Logan, this is what this means. Okay, thank you. I will try to remember that for next episode. Let's get into gameplay. There's been some gameplay changes. Let's talk about those. So cruise diving to an experience or faction battle and surfacing alongside another ship should no longer encounter issues where items on board their ship become non-interactable. I have not been able to play the game in a hot minute because of, well, life and then vacation. So I have not gotten a chance to really test this out. Not only did I not get to do any faction battles during the last Golden Glory weekend, but I haven't talked to anyone about it either. So I don't know if this is still an issue, but it is a very bad issue. And the only way to really fix it is have everyone log out and log back in. The frequency of sharks appearing when players set foot in the water has returned to normal levels. I will hopefully trust that has happened again, because I haven't gotten a chance to actually play the game because I was out of town and I did not take any console devices with me during that trip. I have no idea how good the shark frequency is right now. So I'll probably be jumping in on Tuesday to find out kind of with everyone else for season 12. Resolved an issue experienced during high network traffic where players bailing from a ship would find that the water would only be visibly thrown from a bucket and then be thrown for a second time. So this is the bucket registration not working properly, where it looks like you're throwing the water out, but you're not actually throwing it out. You have to throw it out a second time. Sometimes it doesn't fully scoop. Console players can once again use a mouse and keyboard with full compatibility. This will probably be the case for a majority of people. Some people may still run into issues. It's going to be really hard. The only thing I can recommend, just put in the report for that. Please provide the brand and model of the hardware that you are using with your console. It will help narrow down the issue for them. Because if you say, I'm just not being able to use mouse and keyboard on my console, they may look at the analytics and say, looks like everyone is fine, so we're not sure why yours isn't working. But if you went to a store and got, like, you know, if you're like me and you go to a Five Below, which is a little bit higher up than a dollar store, and you're like looking at all the really, really cheap like electronics and thinking, yeah, I could make a good setup with this junk. That may not be a keyboard and mouse that the console recognizes. Like, your PC may recognize it, but the you know, console's a little bit different. So trying to provide the mouse and keyboard model and brand and stuff for them. If you do put in a report for that, just to give folks over there a little bit of an idea of what you're working with. Skeletons have been reminded that they need to repair damage to their ships during ship battles. No more easy Fort of Fortunes or Fleet of Fortunes out there. In fact, fleets in general are going to be a lot harder. No longer can you fire a shot into a skeleton ship, sail off, and it will sink itself. Sorry. Should make things a little more interesting during ship battle. So shipwrights should now consistently deliver purchase supplies to captains, which is a big issue if you go to buy cannonballs, planks, food, meat, things like that, and you set sail and you don't check and you get out into the middle of the ocean and realize none of that stuff actually, like, they took your gold, they didn't give you the supplies. So good. Hopefully that's working properly. Players losing treasure during the Merchant Alliance or Order of Souls tutorial voyages will now find the voyage canceled, which is nice. I don't know if you could, you know, how that works. I imagine it probably works, but anyway. Players can no longer use a cannon to generate additional throwables. Good. I like that kind of a fix. That's a good fix. All Gold Hoarder Vault voyages have been updated to prevent crews from predicting the location of the treasure. Also good. Get a little variety in there. Stop having people just continuously spam that junk. Players will no longer find treasure from a siren shrine reappearing after leaving and returning to a cleared area. Selling gold hoarder artifacts. I don't know why they wrote it this way. Maybe this makes sense to you. Selling gold hoarders, no apostrophe, artifacts at Reaper's Hideout should no longer progress gold hoarder commendations. Fair, I get it. You're not actually handing it to a gold hoarder. Makes sense. Captains leaving a ship damaged at the end of a session should now consistently find the ship seaworthy in their next session, but will still need to restore it to fully repair it. I'm still with Caleb on this. I think that your ship should start out, with a fresh ship and let it be a toggle in the settings that if you want the damage to persist beyond the actual game session, that you can turn that on. But at the same time, I also recognize that the reason for this is it is a gold sink. It is a renewable reason for you to spend in-game gold to be able to make your ship look pretty. I get it. Where did I leave off? Oh, here we go. The following commendations will now progress when completing the required criteria. Righteous Victory, Athena's Shield, Order of Ghouls, Hunt Them Down, Is That All You've Got? Bones, Not Bonds. So if you're having trouble with any of those, that's something you've been like pinned on your list of to-do things. Those should now hopefully be working properly. Let's see. Crews failing to find an hourglass battle after diving will no longer be unable to catch fire when returning to their original server. Resource crates placed on a docked rowboat should now still be visible and accessible after leaving the Tunnels of the Damned. Thank you. Let's see. That was pretty much it as far as like gameplay or like fixed issues with gameplay. There are some stability things that they did for performance and stability. Players should now find in-game voice chat works consistently when playing across platforms and regions. Thank you. Resolved a prevalent client crash affecting Xbox consoles following the upgrade to the GDK. Thank you. Improvements made to shop purchasing when under heavy load reduce scenarios where players may become stuck counting coins. Thank you. Players should no longer become stuck while waiting while attempting to purchase a trade company promotion. Thank you. Players returning through the tunnels of the damned following a tall tale should no longer experience a hazelnut beard error. Thank you. Further improvements made to a game stability to reduce scenarios where players experience an unexpected exit from the game or become disconnected from their session. I gotta trust that this is working properly. I haven't really seen too many people talk about this in the Discord, but also at the same time, I have not really had a good opportunity to be trolling the Discord like I usually do. So hopefully that's working, because crashes and disconnects, getting stuck on stuff and not being able to talk to people have been some of the most frustrating aspects of the game currently, compared to anything else that's going on. Like genuinely, like people would probably be more inclined to deal with like toxic behavior in the game than dealing with the crashes, because at least they'd be able to play with the people that are being toxic and like kill them and like sink their ship and get that satisfaction. There's no satisfaction when you have to reboot the game. So hopefully that's all working well. I really hope so. Let's see. There's a little bit here on anti-cheat as well, too. I figured I'd cover. Players on Steam should no longer encounter the error that easy anti-cheat is not installed when installing from the Steam store. Thank you. Improvements made to anti-cheat detection, reducing the frequency of players encountering a hazelnut error. Improvements made to anti-cheat detection to further protect from external access, effectively allowing them to be able to prevent people from getting into the game and changing stuff, meaning less cheaters that you'll run into, both on consoles, if you're playing on PC high seas, or just PC with PC players. There are some other changes. None that I can really say are like important. I would say like the accessibility one here, probably good to know. Players on Xbox using let games read to me will find the virtual keyboard is now narrated. Love that. Glad that that was added in there. But that's about it, honestly, as far as some of the other changes that came in with the patch notes. So hopefully there's nothing that I missed that was really important. I was looking through those. I genuinely didn't see anything that was too major. One thing I do want to let folks know about, you may have noticed this, other than the guild ships not populating properly, the open crew matchmaking is temporarily disabled. Due to an issue discovered in this update, players will not currently have the option to select or join an open crew session from the front end menu. The team are working to resolve this issue and restore open crew matchmaking as part of our full season 12 update on April 30th, 2 days, or at least as I'm recording this. So hopefully that is something that gets fixed. Although I'm sure if you talk to a lot of old salts out there, they would probably say, no, that's fine. That's probably a good thing. Don't subject people to open crew. Go to a Discord, go to party chat, find a friend. Don't do open crew. It's funny because I actually went on tonight to jump into Sea of Thieves on my PlayStation, and I forgot that I didn't buy the premium version. So I was like, why does it say I still have like a day and some hours left before I can play this? That doesn't make any sense. And then I realized, oh, it's because I didn't need the cosmetics, so I don't get the early access. But I hope that the PlayStation players have been having fun out there. I did see, who was it? There was a content creator out there who put out a pretty cool like artwork. Beard Berserk, that's what it was. Beard Berserk went and there's a, like artwork that a lot of folks do. They use like items that you can turn in, just like treasures, stuff like that. And they'll put it all together and make like logos or words, shapes, things like that. And one of the things that they did is they actually did, I want to say it was crates of rare tea, I think. Oh, no. Sorry. It looks like storage crates for the damned, because I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And a whole bunch of other little treasure. And they made the PlayStation logo out of it. And I was like, man, that looks great. They did a good job with that. They got some people with some blue lights to go around it. Looked like they had a good handful of folks kind of working on this, maybe a couple Briggs. And really just so cool to see like some of the best stuff. But they did a PlayStation logo. They did the X, and then they did the Reaper's Mark. And it was really, really nice to see folks kind of having fun doing some of the artwork that they did in game, hauling treasure from different places to try and keep it all in one spot and not lose it after hours and hours and hours of work. Usually it takes quite a long time to be able to do that. So it's really cool to see like when it's all said and done, like how it looks. So kudos to them for being able to get that done. All right. I think it's time to kind of talk about some of the stuff that is going to be coming with season 13. Obviously next week, we'll probably be diving into the patch notes for that. But I'm jazzed, man. We're getting two new weapons. We're getting the double pistol or the double barrel pistol and the throwing knife. We got a nice little video a couple days ago that kind of showed off the double barrel pistol in action. Be very interesting to see what this is like. They did mention that it is reduced damage as well as range compared to the normal pistol. In the video, it shows that the double barrel pistol has 6 bullets available to it, and that it would probably take 4 shots as opposed to 2 to be able to do this. So you're still going to have to reload. I don't know if it's going to be the same amount of time. It might be a little bit slower, but the charged shot should probably be about 50% health based on the video, whereas one shot from the pistol is going to be able to take that much health. But it was kind of nice to see a little bit of the UI behind this. They also showed the throwing knife, which was very interesting. And I actually kind of, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I'm starting to come around on the throwing knife. They're doing cosmetics for it. They're going to be selling cosmetics, but they'll also probably have some cosmetics available in the weapon shop as well too. The throwing knife works kind of like you'd expect. You can stab people with it. You can deal a little bit of damage with it. You can do more damage if you are able to charge up an attack and attack them from behind. But additionally, being able to throw it, you get 5 knives total. And if you don't get, if you miss it, it will stick into the where, you know, wherever it hits. But you can go over and pick it up, and that will give you 1 charge of that. Additionally, the fact that you're able to actually like pick up someone else's and throw it is kind of nice because, well, I don't know how many people are going to use that, but it'll be very interesting to kind of see like how that works. But that's something that's coming. They also talked about the scatter shot, which is kind of cool. Nice little burst of cannonball, 4 cannon shots that are tier 1 versus the tier 2, tier 3 shots. I think a standard cannonball is tier 2, right? But the scatter shot gives you shorter range for the actual shot, but you're able to put in more holes into a ship. So going to be really, really powerful against galleons who have those double decks. Or not decks, floors. They don't have 2 decks. I'm going to stop saying that word. The scatter shot, really great to kind of like get some of those, tier 1 holes on the second deck of, is it? What do you call it? It's on second deck, right? I'm giving up. I'm terrible pirate. Anyway, so that and the bone collar ball is, going to be available. I love that the bone collar ball it's timed. I'm going to say probably 30 seconds for how long the skeletons last. Spawns 3 skeletons when it cracks open. It's a throwable, but you can also load it into a cannon, fire it at another crew, and if it lands, it'll spawn skeletons on their ship. I like the fact that these are going to be found mostly at forts or at... I just blanked on where the other thing was. Where you could actually get these. Oh my gosh. One sec. Skeleton fleets. That's what it was. So yeah, at forts or at skeleton fleets, when you defeat them, you can find them in the barrels or in the supply crates where they came up from sinking skeleton fleets ships. So very rare, but also very good. I can imagine these are going to be really nice if you are trying to border ship. If you have a couple of these, really going to make it a lot easier for you to disrupt people, especially on a galleon, where if someone is below deck, if someone's below deck and they're repairing, you can throw one downstairs. It'll spawn a few skeletons, delay them from being able to repair while you additionally throw like another one on mid deck or top deck and be able to, stop cannoneers from being able to, like, they'll get attacked by skeletons as opposed to, just being able to lay into your ship. Also going to be good if that's what you like. If you don't have a cursed cannonball handy, but you have one of those, blunder bombs are nice, but people can generally like grab right back onto the cannon and continue firing. If you miss like your second blunder bomb, skeleton bombs or the bone collars. I'm trying to forget what the word is. The bone collar balls, those are going to be a lot more persistent because they will then have to deal with the actual skeletons, which is a far better concept to be able to deal with that. So I like that. Scattershot's going to be great for eating through resources, being able to overwhelm people with multiple holes as opposed to... It's the one thing that I'm very curious about is how those are going to play against sloops, because with 4 shots... all being tier 1, you have the potential to not only have 1 cannonball or 1 scatter shot to hit a mast, hit someone on the cannon, and hit someone on the helm, and hit someone, you know, hit the capstan. Like, you know, RNG aside, the potential to do at least one tier's worth of damage on four important aspects of the sloop when it comes to combat, very powerful concept. Especially if you get a chain shot and a scatter shot. If you hit the chain and then shoot a couple scatter shots, not only are you going to be able to overwhelm them fairly quickly if all the balls hit, to, you know, take down the mast, but additionally also put some pressure on the rest of the parts of the ship that you normally wouldn't be able to. So really can't wait to find out what the meta is going to be, man. It sounds scary. I thought that back when ship damage was a thing and you could knock down capstans and masts. Balance is something that they will have to take a look at. They will definitely keep an eye on the meta, and they can always do tweaks to the spread of the scatter shot as well as the damage and duration for the bone collar throwables. So we'll just see how those go. I think that there's a lot of good potential there for the meta in general. So be very fun to see how people like them, what they gravitate towards, where the strengths lie, how they can assist players in other ways, or just, you know, I don't know. I think it'd be kind of fun to throw a couple bone collar balls down, get hit with a Kevin Bacon ball. The jig ball, which makes you dance and, create your own flash mob. Sorry, that was stupid. Anyway, moving on, they've also got the Horn of Fair Winds, I believe is the name. I'm pretty sure it's the Horn of Fair Winds. And that's going to be something that you can find. They show this as something that is found in shipwrecks and in other locations. So like the Siren Shrines down underwater, which makes sense. I kind of like that. But this thing, very interested in this. There's only so much usage that you'll be able to use this for. The fact that you can blow people off of your ship with it, the fact that you can put out fire, the fact that you can reduce fall damage or not take fall damage at all, by pointing it down when you jump off something, the fact that you can propel yourself with it underwater, the fact that you can use it to propel a rowboat with it. Very interesting. And you still get some gold for it when you actually sell it. So very nice to see that. Really love the fact that that's going to be something that may turn the tide in a battle. You just never know. Like, it's good for repelling people, but it's also going to be something that will help get you out of range. One of the things that I'm curious about, though, is does it take ship weight into account? Because things like harpoons do. If you are on a galleon and you shoot a sloop with a rowboat or with a harpoon, that galleon can stomp the sloop. Like, there's that is just how the physics of the game work. You know, you can't really pull a galleon with a sloop on a rowboat. It's the weight is just not there. Same thing with like a harpoon rowboat. Can't pull a ship around with it too well compared to you know, vice versa. So I'm very curious to know if the Horn of Fair Winds will take more charge to be able to affect the sails of a galleon compared to a sloop, and vice versa. Like, you know, like how does all of that work? So love to see kind of what the Ancient Isles University come up with when they start doing their testing, because I'm sure they will. But very interested to see kind of like what that's going to look like. I'm sure Fuzzy Bond will be out there doing some Sea of Science as well too. So looking forward to any videos that they do kind of showing some of the differences, see if they can get people to actually like get some side-by-side comparisons for sailing and just how much faster it is. One of the things that we've been waiting for since, Tale of Monkey Islands or Legend of Monkey Islands, zip lines. Zip lines are finally coming to Sea of Thieves in Season 12. Really looking forward to this. I think my one request was just from the top of Ancient Spire Outpost down to the dock, and they're doing it, so I'm happy. But not only can you use zip lines to go down stuff, you can also carry loot across them as well, too. You can carry loot on top of lines, and it doesn't matter if it's I don't know if it's zip lines, but you can use harpoons to zip down. You can also walk across the line on Harpoon, something that they've wanted to do since the beta. And there's a little bit of a technique behind it. You do need to keep your balance, which is kind of like, I don't know if I dig that, but, you know, still a thing. But I like the fact that you can at least traverse across them. You can use these to harpoon another ship, and you can then cross over onto the ship. One of the biggest complaints I think that came after the first year was there ought to be other ways that you can board a ship. And that does call into question a lot of the balance for the game, because so much of the game combat is what can make or break a battle. If you're able to get on board, you're able to drop that anchor, you're able to stop someone from being able to repair or get on the cannons. Being able to get onto the ship is a very important aspect of that. And there's really only two places that you can get onto a ship, regardless of what type ship it is. And it's either the left or the right ladders. So adding the harpoon as a means to get over to another ship, whether you're shooting up high and then climbing up it, or if you are shooting across and if you're able to be behind someone and you're able to harpoon them and you'll be able to, like, you know, send someone across, they are going to be, you know, vulnerable during that aspect of it. But the fact that that's even an option now is really interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see how this all works, whether it's something that's utilized very much, if the balancing is too difficult, how that works for something like mouse and keyboard, where at least with like a controller, there's a dead zone and then there's a maximum, and you can kind of feather around that area. Whereas, you know, with a mouse and keyboard, it is binary. You either push the button down or you don't push the button. Most mechanical keyboards don't have an in-between stage like a control stick does. So I'll be very interested to see just how that is. I can't imagine that it's going to be too difficult. I would probably keep it in line with fishing and how difficult that is with a mouse and keyboard, so probably not too bad at all. We also don't know like how frequently that happens too, if it's a constant thing or if it's like you're just now starting to tip over and you have to tap the button a little bit too until one way or the other. So we'll have to figure out how that goes this week. Really looking forward to it and seeing how fun it is. It'll be really, really interesting because harpoons already do a lot for the game, but adding this functionality just kind of opens the floodgates for interesting plays when it comes to combat. And I wonder if it'll maybe push people to get a little bit closer. You know, a lot of folks out there are kind of the quote unquote TDMer, you know, where they are double gunners who like to board, lock down a ship and sink them that way, as opposed to using naval, where this is kind of like an interesting mix of two. You can run over, or you can sail over, crash into them, use your harpoon if you don't make the jump after the ram, and then actually climb over, see if you can actually use like a throwing knife or a bone collar to stop them from being able to get you or knock you off the actual like rope. So many different little plays that could be done about this that I'm genuinely like, I'm looking forward to what the streamers decide to do with this, because I think they're going to be the ones that are really going to be invested in kind of making these new tools really showcased. And the nice thing is, we got some Twitch drops coming, so good time for us to kind of say like, hey, you know, I would love to see what the streamers are going to think of this new update. There's probably going to be a lot of praise at the start, and then we'll kind of, you know, as the season goes on, we'll kind of see like, you know, how much that honeymoon phase wears off and what people will actually think of that. But we have a pretty hefty Twitch drop one coming in. So this is going to be for kind of the launch of Sea of Thieves on PlayStation. Even though it already happened, everyone will have access as of the 30th with the new season. So from April 30th, 3 a.m. my time, which is Pacific Standard Time, it's going to be different compared to where you are, maybe, until May 7th. So what is that, a whole week, I think? Let me take a look. Yeah, whole week. Yeah, so whole week for Twitch drops. Watch participating Sea of Thieves streams. Doesn't look like it is restricted to partnered streamers. It's any Sea of Thieves streamer, so a great chance to do it for your friends or you know, watch some of your friends stream. You get the what's it called? What did they call it? Oh, I just blanked on what they called it. Hold on, I gotta find the thing. See what they called them. Sage Sea Dog. That's what this set is for the Tankard and the Pocket Watch. They have the Eastern Winds Sapphire Sturdy boots, as well as the short jacket. So If you're looking for some free cosmetics, if you're a brand new player and you want to get some different variety in your cosmetics, this is how I started out. I before I could afford to buy anything, I watched Twitch streams to get stuff. You know, back in the day, it was the Ebon Flintlock, but now it's Sage Sea Dog cosmetics as well as Eastern Winds cosmetics. So good way for you to kind of feel like, you know, you're getting a little bit free for the purchase that you just got. Also, new season pass. New plunder pass, I guess. Always recommend new players play through it. It's very easy to actually like complete. You can actually, all you got to do is just play the game. You don't have to do anything particular. You can do particular stuff. You don't have to do particular stuff, but there's a lot of really good cosmetics that you can get in the season pass for free without having to spend any money at all. But if you do decide to do that, then you can get some of that ancient coin back, as well as earn some of the exclusive cosmetics that come, which are typically a ship set. And I think in this case, it is like the Gorgon set, which is, if you're not familiar, Gorgon, just think of Medusa. Medusa was a Gorgon, as far as I know. Kind of fun. I like it. There's also a checkered theme that's coming along too. So really nice to see just some of the different things that you can get out there for the upcoming season. But I'm sure I will probably talk about more of that next week when we actually get the full release notes and I'm able to take a look at prices and how things are going and get a good beat on where the game state is, how good it is on PlayStation. All right, pirates, that's going to do it for this episode of the Keelhauled Podcast. There's plenty of stuff to come in the future as we are getting into the new season, and I can't wait to hear what everyone thinks of it in the upcoming Gold Hoarder episode next month. So if you like this content, definitely please, if you have an opportunity, take a moment to head over to the Discord, chat with other people, join up for the Sherpas who are there to help try and teach people how to play the game, give you an understanding of some of the basics. They're not there to carry you, but they are there to inform you, and they have plenty of knowledge to be able to do so. Other than that, if you want to support this content, share it with a friend, like, subscribe, plenty of things to do over on YouTube as well as the Patreon, or just, you know, continue listening. That works out as well too. Pirates, if you like this content, you can always reach out to me and let me know about it. There's plenty of ways to do that as well too. Head over to Twitter at @CAPT_LOGUN or on Threads at @CAPT_LOGUN as well. Trying to think if there's anything else. CAPT_LOGUN@gmail.com is the show or the email for the show. I think if there's anything else. I think that's it, right? Yeah, that's pretty. You know what? The socials are in the show notes. I read all the comments that come in through the YouTube as well. And if I have time, I try to heart them or, respond to them if anything comes up. Outside of that, that's going to do it. So pirates, thank you. I love you. And I look forward to sailing with you on the Sea of Thieves.